Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hands the wonders wrought. Once again, we can see what God said to Noah. Springtime and harvest will not cease as long as the world, the earth, is there. And we are seeing heavens declaring the glory of God. Reading from Romans chapter 8, God's holy word, how thankful we can be for it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we must hear it and believe it. Every word. As Moses said, Christ repeated, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if we all lived by every word, we would be one. Sadly, the proof is there. There we're not all living by all of the word, but only parts of it, and some of it resting. Especially the part that we will consider here is much difference of opinion on what it means, some neglecting it almost entirely, and some denying it. But listen, as God gives us this word, verse 27 of Romans chapter 8. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So far we read this holy word, this word of which God says, to him will I look, who is poor and a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. And we certainly should tremble before it, because it's a holy word for unholy people. And we should tremble, lest we come short of reading it rightly, hearing it rightly, believing it rightly, and certainly doing it rightly. As Christ brings out in the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the difference between those that hear and do not, and those that hear and do the word. One has a house built on the sand, the other on the rock. The one on the sand is described as great is the fall of it. So we should tremble that we hear this word aright, and we beg God for that Spirit that maketh intercession for us, that makes all things work together for good, and makes us love God, makes us that because we're called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks for this word. We give thanks that we can have it. When others do not have it, many do not even know it. Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, that the gospel must be preached to all nations, and then the end would come. We know we are coming closer and closer to that, and we pray that soon the gospel will be preached not only to all nations, but every creature. And we pray also that that part of the world that does not want to recognize this word as thy word will receive it. And we think of those who recognize part of this word, part of it given to Israel, but not the other part, given after thy coming, Lord Jesus. And speaking of thy coming, we pray that thou would also open their eyes, their ears, their heart, to receive it as all of Scripture. And as Peter could say, they rest the Scripture of Paul even as they rest other Scriptures, and comparing what Paul gave as the Scripture. And we give thee thanks for it. And we pray now for thy Spirit to lead us into the truth of the Scripture, and especially this part that is openly denied by a part of the church and not wanted to be received and not want to be submitted to. Help us to understand it and help us to receive it rightly as little children. As thou hast said, Lord Jesus, we must become as little children, or we cannot enter thy kingdom. And we pray that those who have not come in that way may be brought down, may be made willing by thy Spirit and by thy word, all through Christ. We pray also, Father, for the temporal blessings that are needed, for those in suffering and hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for those in sickness that they might experience healing, if it could be thy will. If not, Father, thou would give them the grace to bear under it, to learn through it, the brevity of life, the need to prepare for death. We pray, Father, for those that are in troubled homes, especially the children. We pray for other calamities that are there, the hungry. We ask, Father, for the many that are suffering, and especially those that are suffering for thy name's sake, that they might experience what thou hast said. Blessed are those who suffer for thy name's sake. And we pray that they might remain true to thee and to thy word through Christ. Amen. As we look again at this word, especially, first of all, at the 28th verse, we know, Paul says, that all things work together for good. Do we know that? Or do we do like Paul warned against when he wrote to the Corinthians and said, neither murmur ye as they murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer, speaking of Israel. They murmured many times, as we read of their history. Over and over we read, and they murmured. They were dissatisfied with what God was doing, and they did not believe that all things were working together for good. Everything. That's not easy to understand. We might say, how can bad things work together for good? Maybe, sometimes, like God says by the pen of Paul to the Hebrews, whom he loves, he chastens. No chastening for the present is joyous, but grievous. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those that are exercised by it. Yes, sometimes we don't recognize that chastening is coming from God when he allows things to happen in our life or even sends things to happen or doesn't give us some things that we think we ought to have and that we might want. Sometimes we pray for things wrongly. We pray for things that God doesn't give us, and I've had it in my own life, praying for certain things and then not receiving it, God giving something better. And I can keep on thanking him and thanking him and thanking him. He didn't answer that prayer of mine and gave something much better. And he can do that. He can do that in both doctrine and life. And especially when we come to this part here that follows those words, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think often we probably quote and say, all things work together for good to them that love God. So if we love God, he'll make everything work for our good. That's only part of the statement. To them who are the called according to his purpose. He could have said to those who are called in Christ Jesus, and then we could say, well, everybody that believes in the Lord Jesus, that works for good. But he makes a statement here. What does it really mean? Called according to his purpose. God says by the pen of Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways. Even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's part of the revelation of Scripture, of his purpose. Higher ways. Much higher. And especially in the words that follow. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Probably many people, if not most people, would accept that and say, yes, we have to be like Christ, but it's our part, we must do it, and not realize that whom he does predestinate are the ones that are conformed to the image of God's Son. And then words that are even, sadly, more refused than this other verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, whom he predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, whom he predestinated, doing all things according to the purpose of his will, says, moreover, we might say, along with it, or following it, those that he did already predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There are well-known preachers. I could even say well-respected preachers. There are preachers that churches are named after them today, after many, many years. People call them by the name of the preachers of the past. There are Lutherans. There are Wesleyans. There are Calvinists. all these different names. Present time in the church. Some of them thought that the doctrine of predestination, at least one of them, was a very terrible doctrine. A preacher that had many followers and many ways of people coming to repentance and even coming to faith and talking about it. But I think we have to realize at the outset, to help understand it, not all repentance is the full repentance. And not all faith is the right faith of God's elect. Take the faith that's spoken of there in the parable of the sower. It speaks first of the wayside hearer, the shallow ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, and the good ground hearer. And we read of the shallow ground hearer that they received the word and sprang up with joy. Actually, many times, joy in Christ. Now I'm saved. Now I have Christ. But Christ tells us they're offended sometimes at different things that come up. They don't want to do what Christ said at another time in John chapter 8. There were those who, after he spoke of himself being lifted up, said, "We believe on him." It's described that way in the 8th chapter. Many believed on him when he said those words. And then the second time, they're described that way by Christ. He said to those who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Those that he was saying that to said, "We're not in bondage. We don't have to be set free. We're not that bad. We're children of Abraham." They even said, "Father, we have one Father, even God." While they were still children of Satan, the devil, as Christ described them further in that 8th chapter. They were described as hearing his word and believing on him. Twice described that way, believed on him. Again, going back to the shallow ground, they received it with joy. But it was only a partial faith in the whole truth of God's word, a partial receiving of what God tells us about ourselves. And as I mentioned in the last message, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We have to come to that kind of a repentance. Christ not only gave the wonderful words to Nicodemus, first of all of the new birth, and then of the gospel, stating, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Possibly one of the best known scriptures, particularly in the Gospels. What does Christ say after that? "Men loved darkness rather than light." For everyone who says, "I believe the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son for me, the perishing sinner." Yes, the perishing sinner. Why? Because we love darkness rather than light. Do we believe that with it? Do we believe that as well? Do we believe both statements of Christ? That God so loved the world that he gave his Son? And that, as Christ also said, everyone that does evil hates the light. What hope is there for anyone that hates the light? What hope is there for anyone that hates that gospel of Christ, which is the light of the world? None in self. Everyone hates the light. Everyone loves darkness rather than light. None do good, no, not one. Psalm 53, "There is none that seeketh after God." None, none, none. God gave his Son. But as we also said last week, Isaiah 53, we have the gospel. But we also have a call to repentance, telling us he is despised and rejected of men. When we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. That's us. Yes, God loved the world and gave his Son. But he went to the cross because he was hated. Christ said, "Before I came, they had no sin. But when I came, they had no cloak for their sin, and they hated me without a cause. Those are the things that we must repent of, that we are like that. And God is the only one that can change that, the only one that can change us from unwillingness to love the light, unwillingness to come out of the darkness. As he said by the pen of David, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And that's what is spoken of here, whom he did predestinate. Predestinate is his plan, predetermined. And what God predetermined, he will absolutely do. And if he didn't do that, I wouldn't be standing here today. I'd probably still be coveting. I'd probably still want the thorns and thistles of this life more than the kingdom of God. That's me. As Paul said, are we better than they? In no wise. Predestination brings us in humbleness before God. Predestination brings us by faith toward Christ and to Christ. That's what it does. It says that here very plainly. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. We say, well, doesn't God call everybody? The command is there that the church will call everyone in the world, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached to all nations in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. But it's not being done as it should be. The church today isn't repenting itself, and when it doesn't repent itself, it can't bring the message to others. So we have to see this in God's way, God's way of Scripture. Scripture is to be believed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't believe this, as Paul wrote it, if you don't believe it to God's glory, if you don't believe it to the saving of your soul, then you don't have faith that cometh by hearing. Because there's many, including myself, for a long time, I would not hear it. I went on for many years not liking the doctrine of predestination, not liking the doctrine of election, which is much the same. And they are given here by Paul to this church. They are given again by Paul to the church at Ephesus, and they're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Read it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. All of that is God's plan, and it all comes to fruition, because as he said here, whom he predestined, them he also called with an irresistible call, like Paul had. Some people say, well, Paul could have said no. After Christ said to Ananias, who had to go to him, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Ananias was even afraid of him. And Christ says, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And he was. And Paul knew it. And he could also say later, I'm not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And this is one hope for the church today, to be revived, to think again of the next word there we have, whom he called, he justified. Justification by faith alone, without works. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm afraid, I know again myself, my first part of my life, trusted in my works. I'm as much of a Christian as others are. Yes, that may be true. But if they weren't Christians, then I wasn't either. If they weren't right, neither was I. We cannot trust in man. Cursed is he that leaneth on the arm of flesh. And I had to come to that I hated Christ. I hated God. Christ said, they hate both me and my Father. Plain words, just before he died. Read it in John chapter 14, John chapter 15. He tells us that. He told the apostles that. I don't think they believed it for a time. They argued who was the greatest, And they proved what Christ said in different ways at different times. We will have to see this here as it's in Scripture. And again, I repeat those words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is as much the Word of God as John 3:16. This is as much the Word of God as any other part of it. And, as I said, we have the reason why it's necessary. In Psalm 14, there's none that does good. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any, and there were none. That's his foreknowledge. And then, what could he do? He planned before the foundation of the world what he would do. Christ was one that agreed with what had to be done. He would give his life for sinners. The Holy Spirit agreed what had to be done. He would give the new birth. He would give conviction. He would lead into all truth. He would take the things of Christ and show them to those who were predestinated, those who were saved. And some might say, well, doesn't that leave somebody out? You know what predestination does? It brings the saved in. It doesn't shut the door. It opens the door. Without that, there's no hope for a lost, God-hating world. There's no hope for those who despise Christ. There's no hope for those who love darkness rather than light. And we as a nation are being left to ourselves, and a great part of the church as well. This is one doctrine that was there in error before the Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards saw it and preached against it. They recognized it as so bad then that they thought the Spirit was gone. And they were even concerned that they might not be able to be saved if the Spirit was gone. So wrong they see the doctrine that is against predestination. It's called Arminianism, named after a man that didn't agree with what the Reformers taught. And in the 100 years after the Reformation, came out in the open and said, I don't believe this or that or that or that, five different things. They're there yet today, and in great number. But we must come to the straight and narrow way, the way of God's way here by his holy word. Tremble, lest you come short of believing it to the saving of your soul, and then only can you be a help to others and to the glory of God. I'd like to read the last verse from the song that was sung. This is my Father's world, and oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Read the last part of Isaiah 53, and we read there that Christ will be satisfied in what he has done.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth.